Maddie Hazel Hopkins.
And when was your birth date?
October 22nd, 1925.
And where were you born?
Susanville, California.
When did your family move to Oregon?
Well, my mother was born out north of Elgin in a log cabin on a homestead 9 miles north of Elgin. And my dad came here when he was 15 years old, which was about, he was born in 1918, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. And what brought your, was it your mother's parents that came to Oregon?
Yes, from Iowa. Mm-hmm. And Grandpa taught school here in the Grange Hall on the Callister Lane. And then he decided why, I don't know, he decided to take up a homestead down by Elgin, and he packed the whole family up and went down there. Conditions were not, you had to, in order to take up a homestead, you had to build a house or whatever and prove up on it. It was very, very rough for the family.
Did he raise cattle?
I think he logged. They probably had a few cows for their own use. But he logged, and in fact, he, mother said he actually made railroad ties by hand.
Wow.
Split them by hand.
And how did your mother like homestead life?
She didn't like it. Of course, she was so young. She was born down there, and she probably left the homestead when she was about, near as we can figure, about 5 years old. And they moved up to Pine Grove at the top of Minum Hill, where the little old church used to be up there. And she stayed there till she was about 15. And that was better conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was better than living down there in a log house.
With no bathroom, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, she didn't have a bathroom in Pine Grove either. But in fact, the schoolhouse at Pine Grove is still standing up there.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're having a family get-together here the 7th of July. The ones that are left, the cousins there. Some of them have never been down to the homestead, so I made arrangements to go down there.
Is the homestead still in the family, or has it been sold off?
No, it's been sold several times over. Mm-hmm. And the buildings are gone. You can see where the rocks are still there, where the house was and everything. But no, it's been many years.
Mm-hmm. So where did you grow up in Elgin then?
No, I grew up in Island City. Went to school in Island City. We lived in Fruitdale Lane, now they call it. It was about, I'd say 3 or 4 miles. And there was some young families right there in the same area, neighborhood. And us kids all walked to school together. No school buses. We didn't have to take physical education. We got
You walked to school.
Yeah.
And what did your father do for a living?
Well, he always had a small acreage, and he liked to grow garden stuff. He did, during the Depression, he grew a lot of things and sold them to the stores in LeGrand. And then he worked at Mount Emily Lumber Company.
Okay.
And which is Boise Cascade now. Mm-hmm. And he retired there. And then they moved from Fruitdale out in Ladd Canyon. That was after I got married. And they lived out there for several years, and then they sold that and moved into town. And they got too old to farm, I guess.
So you completed your education in Island City?
8 years in Island City, and then I went to LeGrand. And high school, and I didn't go to college.
And the elementary school in Island City, was it one room? What type of conditions?
Well, it started out, it was just a square building with four rooms. Well, then they converted one room to a kind of a recreation room, tried to play basketball in it, but it was too small.
Oh, no.
Well, but they did anyway, mm-hmm. you know. And they had first through the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh and eighth. Mm-hmm. Three teachers.
And was there outhouses, bathroom facilities in the school?
There was a bathroom in the school. Yeah. Yeah, we had a bathroom.
And what did you do for lunches? Did you pack lunch to
school?
You
carried your lunch.
No hot lunches, huh?
No hot mm-hmm. lunches. And later on, when I was, probably in the seventh and eighth grade, the mothers, through the PTA organization, each day a mother would bring something hot to school, you know,
mm-hmm.
Maybe two or three mothers. They'd take turns. Maybe it would be chili or potatoes and gravy or whatever, something hot. But they'd have to carry it up there. They'd have to carry it in there and then serve it to us. And that was a treat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to cold lunch every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was cold, too. We had harder winters then
mm-hmm.
than we do now. I remember one time we got snowed in or snowed out, whatever you want to call it. And our neighborhood down there, my friend's father put some sled runners on a wagon box. And her older brother, he was out of school, he took the team of horses and loaded all the kids in, and that was fun.
Oh, that was fun.
We didn't mind. He'd take us to school in the sled, and then he'd come back at night and pick us up and take us home. We thought we was real smart, because the kids in town, they didn't get that fun thing.
Mm-hmm. So, how many kids were in your classroom, was it, or in your grade?
There was eight of us in the eighth grade at Highland City. Four girls and four boys.
That's a nice even number.
Mm-hmm.
So did you move together to the high school then, in LaGrande?
We all went to high school, and one of them didn't finish. But then we got in high school, and there was a lot of the boys. You see, the World War II broke out
mm-hmm.
in 41. I graduated in 43, and a lot of the boys was gone to service. They had incentive programs to make it attractive for them to join, and they still graduated, mm-hmm. but they weren't there for graduation. When we had our first class reunion, we had to go back to the sophomore list
to get the whole class.
To pick up the whole class. Mm-hmm. And there was about 123 of us in high school. Of course, that was LaGrande and Island City. And I don't know, some of the rural area out from Island City, too.
Mm-hmm. Where was the high school located at that time?
It was where it's been torn down.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where the junior high is now.
Mm-hmm. And what type of courses did you take in high school?
Mostly bookkeeping. Of course, it was mandatory to take English and geography and that sort of thing. But I always leaned toward bookkeeping.
Was there any extra activities after school, dances, clubs?
Well, there was lots of athletic activities, but I never did participate in them because you lived out in the country and it was too hard to get. I had a ride to go home every night, and the kids in town did, a lot of them. But I never did. Oh dear. So where were we?
High school.
Oh.
Let's see. The sports we talked about.
Yeah.
What about dances? Did you have any dances after
school? Oh yeah, they had dances, but they were mostly on weekends. And they had ball games. I'd go to the football games and stuff like that. And but as far as participating in any of the sports, I didn't do much of that.
Now, how did the depression affect your family?
Oh, it was very hard on everybody. That's why everybody grew up. Usually had a pig or a cow and had a garden, and they canned everything they could get their hands on, and it was difficult, but we managed. Mm-hmm. And money was hard to come by. And I worked. I didn't work out, but I worked at home.
And what were your chores at home?
Picking strawberries. Dad grew a lot of strawberries, and then in later years he grew a lot of old radishes and cucumbers and things like that, and Mother and I'd sell them. And radishes, oh mercy. I can't eat radishes yet.
Really?
He grew these big icicle radishes, you know. We'd pick them in late afternoon. Every night we'd sit there washing those. You'd tie them in bunches, you know, all by hand. And then we'd wash them. Take a brush, scrub them. And then the next morning you'd head for town and try to beat the neighbors to the grocery stores to sell your... Because everybody was doing the same thing, you see. Not everybody, but a lot of them. You'd have to get there first so you could sell your produce.
Did you sell it just to the grocers in LeGrand, or did you make...
Mostly to LeGrand grocery stores. There was a lot of grocery stores.
Was there?
Then. Oh, yeah. There's been so many grocery stores shut down because of the big supermarkets. Yeah. A lot of little neighborhood grocery stores.
And yeah. Did the... Because I know during World War II there was a lot of, you know, rationing of sugar and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did your family deal with that?
You just dealt with it. You just went without. Everything was rationed. Of course, farmers, if you lived on a farm, you got extra gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
And... But you just dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. Did without.
Did without. And it wasn't that bad. Paper was hard to come by. Toilet paper and stuff like that.
So what did you use for toilet paper?
Well, we used it sparingly.
But you had it.
When you'd find it in the store, well,
you'd buy it up, huh?
Well, you couldn't. They'd ration it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was, but you got by. I can't help but think that if we were rationed a little bit on some of these things right now, it would make more people conscious
of what they're wasting.
Yes, of be more make more people conscious of what's going on, and there is some people that suffer, that is suffering from this war. But people have everything, anything they want.
Yeah,
they aren't denied anything.
What else were your chores at home? Inside chores. Baking, do you guys bake bread on a certain day, laundry on a certain day?
Oh, no, not. Mother baked bread, and I always helped her in the house. And of course, you had a wood stove, you carried wood in, your water was not convenient, and it was more of a chore to get things done. And then you walk to school, you walk home. By the time you got everything done, why, you was ready to go to bed.
How was laundry done? Did you have like a washing machine or?
Early on, Mother washed it on the board, scrub board.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got a washing machine. And just a wringer washer,
mm-hmm.
you know. She never had an automatic till she moved to town.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother had one of those wringer ones. I remember that, my great grandma.
Mm-hmm.
It was in her basement. So does any of your brothers or sisters?
I don't have any
brothers, huh?
I'm the only child.
The only child. Well, you were busy at home then, weren't you?
Yeah.
And how did you meet your husband?
At the stock show dance.
That's a great place to meet him.
He had just got back from the service. I didn't know him before he went in the service. And I was over at the stock show dance with a friend of mine. And he was there. And we got acquainted. That was the way it happened. I guess he was looking for a cook or something. That was in 1946. And we only knew each other about 6 months before we were married. That's one of those marriages that isn't supposed to last, you know.
And here you are today.
59 years.
What was your early married life like? Where did you live?
We lived in LeGrand in an apartment. Sherman worked for the railroad. And we lived in an apartment and for about 6 months. And then we bought 10 acres out in Fruitdale. And there again, it was very, no bathroom, a very small house. And we lived there for 5 years. I was working. I worked for Consolidated Freightways for 9 years, and six of those was after we was married. And we lived there for 5 years, and then we moved out to Gifter Lane.
Okay.
Out just east of the Grange Hall, off of McAllister. And we lived there for 5 years. And then we bought this place, just this house and the ground here, and moved out. Well, we didn't move out here when we bought it. We bought it in 55. And then my husband leased or rented his mother's place. His father passed away, and he rented her place down the road here. And we decided he was out here more than he was over there. So we decided we'd move out here. We moved out here in 56. So it'll be 49 years.
It's a long time.
And we sold the house and 11 acres over there and then kept the rest of the ground. And we've been here ever since.
So when you worked for that, for the company, what was the company's name you worked for?
Consolidated Freightways.
And what did you do for them?
Office work. And we had, I was office manager. We had three girls, three besides myself.
Mm-hmm. And what type of business was it?
Freight, hauled freight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Freight company. And there again, it's different than it is now. They had more trucks. In fact, they aren't even in business anymore. They had more trucks, and the trucks would go from place to place, you know, letting the freight off and unloading and loading and so forth.
What type of freight?
Anything. And meat. Of course, most of these companies have their own trucks now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ship that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you quit working for them after you were married?
6 years after I was married. Mm-hmm. And then I quit in 52 to start my family, and our son was born in 53, our oldest son. And he was about 3 years old when we moved down here. And we lived in Decker Lane when he was born. And then our second boy was born in 57. And that was after we moved down here.
And your husband farmed for a living?
He railroaded. He worked for the railroad. And the steam engines, he worked on boilers, on the steam engines. And, of course, the diesels came in. Well, that put him out of work. And they says, sorry, we don't need you anymore. And it sort of irritates me, these people now, they get laid off, they think they have to be trained for something else. They didn't do that with them. He just had to go find something else to do. So he worked in a machine shop in McGrand, and then he rented his mother's place, and we had bought this. So then he started farming full time, but he'd go to town and get a job in the winter time. We didn't have very many cows or anything, so he'd go to town and get a job in the winter time.
And then farm during the summer. And what did he farm?
What?
Did he farm wheat?
Yeah, mostly wheat. And we gradually build our cattle herd up, little by little. Wheat and hay.
And do you have any farm hands, or is it just your husband?
Just my husband and me. For a long, long time.
So I'm sure you were responsible for some of the farm.
Well, I didn't run tractors or anything much, but I helped him a lot. I was there, you know, if he needed help.
Mm-hmm. And your boys helped out?
When they got older, yes. Very good help. Our oldest boy, when he got out of high school, he went to college and got with the state police. He just retired.
Oh,
2
wow.
years ago. 29 years for the state police.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So he returned, and he leased part of our property, our farm. So he's back farming too now.
That's good.
He lives in Island City, has a wife and a daughter. She's married, and she was just here last week. Her husband is starting to dental school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And they flew back Friday. And then our youngest son, he had one little boy. Well, he's not little anymore. But he passed away in 98. He got a very rare liver disease. They don't know what causes it, and it's if you have it long enough, your cancer cells attack your bile duct and your liver. And he had a combination of he had the cancer along with the. He lived for about a year and a half after he took down sick, and his boy lives in Stanfield.
Okay.
He's about 13 years old now.
Oh, wow.
He was 6 when he lost his father.
He's young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you ever work outside the home again?
Nope.
Nope.
I thought about it. When the kids got in school, I was real active at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they was in 4-H, both of them, and in Scouts, Boy Scouts. And I was den mother for the Cub Scouts for probably 8 or 10 years.
And what were your duties as the den mother?
oh, plan the meetings and organize and, you know, activities and everything. It's a job, but I enjoyed it. And our youngest boy, our oldest boy didn't, oh, I don't know, remember what rank he was in Boy Scouts, but the youngest boy really, really clung the ladder. He was an Eagle Scout when he was 13 years old. And he took a real big interest in it. He liked the outdoors and that sort of thing.
So what type of activity did you plan?
Oh, hiking and crafts, you know, woodworking and just all kinds of boy things.
And for 4-H, did your sons raise animals then?
They had a cattle, usually a heifer. And now Carl, let me see. Yeah, Carl showed in the stock show and over at the fair. And Fred did too. But they didn't get a herd built up or anything.
What type of things, did you do volunteer work at the elementary school?
No, well, PTA. Room mother. And in over here in Union, not so much anymore, but they used to have, in high school, they have feeds. FFA would have spaghetti feeds, pizza feeds, and everything. I always helped in the kitchen with that.
What was the big difference between when you went to school and when your sons went to school?
Well, we had a school bus, for one thing.
Didn't have to walk to school.
Didn't have to walk to school. We had modern facilities, and there's a lot, you know, it's been a lot of change, even when my boys were in school and school now. It's unbelievable how many kids have cars up here. When our boys was in school, they didn't have, nobody had cars. Maybe they'd get a car when they was toward the end of their senior year.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. But my goodness, they turn 16, they've got to have a new car.
How, with the education system, do you think that your boys received a better education than the children are receiving today?
I don't think so.
No.
I can see from what I've experienced with it. I think they're getting a different type of education, but they're getting more education.
More education.
It seems to me like they are. But the schools are leaning too much toward athletics.
Than academic.
They're getting away from the reading, writing, and arithmetic.
What are some of the major changes that you've seen in your lifetime in this area? I mean, how much is, I'm sure when your husband started farming, there was a lot more farms out here.
Yes, yes. There was a place down here, this place, there was this house here, down here, and one just across the fence from it. There was houses, you know, people, this place down here had 40 acres, and one couple, and they made a living on it. And yes, a lot more farms. There's bigger farms and fewer farms.
So do you think it's harder today to make a living farming than it was when you were raising your boys?
No.
No.
People think it is, but it wasn't. We didn't have air-conditioned tractors. We had open-air tractors. And there was a lot of Sherman, when he got a baler, he baled hay. He'd hire kids, or our kids,
mm-hmm.
to buck bales, what they called buck bales. They were small bales, but they'd do it all day long.
And what's bucking bales?
Hay hooks. Put them on a wagon, and you'd have an elevator, and it'd put it up on a stack. And there'd be somebody at the top that would stack them, all handwork.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just don't touch it.
Machinery takes care
of it. Machinery takes care of everything. No, we've hired a lot of kids. Just numerous kids up here in Union. The kids nowadays wouldn't do that.
It's too much work. So what else did you hire the kids for besides?
Well, mostly hay.
Haying.
Mm-hmm.
And when did haying season start? I mean, did the kids work all summer haying, or was it just
No, well, we usually hired a high school kid, at least one good high school, some of them, sometimes more, as soon as they got out of school in the spring. Your haying season starts about, right around stop show, about June.
About now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you'd have the second cutting, and then you'd get into harvest, and if you had a good, dependable kid, he could drive grain truck, you know. And your combines were smaller.
Smaller?
Uh-huh. And just one, and Sherman was doing it himself, and he'd hire a truck driver to drive truck. Sometimes I've done it, and after the kids got old enough to be on their own, it's pretty convenient now. Pretty convenient. And you know, just your conveniences in your house, mm-hmm. and your electricity, and people complain about their electric bill. You stop and consider all the things that you're getting off of that electric bill. It's a bargain.
Because I'm sure many of your homes growing up and in your early years of marriage, did they not have electricity? Or
had electricity, but we didn't have two refrigerators and two freezers and a dishwasher and automatic washing machines. We had washing machines, but we didn't have automatics when we were first married.
What kind did you have the time that you...
The wringer, washer.
And then did you hang your clothes to dry?
Out on the line, winter and summer. And if you'd bring them in and they'd be frozen stiff, so then you'd hang them in the house. And you know, you didn't have a clothes dryer.
Mm-hmm.
No. We've got it so much nicer.
Easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to back up a little bit and talk about when your grandfather came over. You told me a story about the fact that they took the train here.
That was my mother's family. They moved out from Iowa. And Grandpa came first. And he got a house to live in, and then Grandma came on the train with four kids. Can you imagine? Four little kids.
And it wasn't the luxurious Amtrak we have now.
No. And they lived at a little old dinky house where the sale yard is now. And then they had another daughter was born there, 1900. It's about 1898 that they moved out here. And 1900, she was born. And then they moved out on the Foothill Road.
Okay.
Just out mm-hmm. from La Grande, you know. And they had another child born out there. And then they moved to Elgin. He took up this homestead. He was teaching school at McAllister Lane, the Grange Hall. And I guess he would walk from a foothill road, either ride a horse or walk. And then they took up this homestead. And the two oldest boys, they have worked awful hard. You see, he taught them in school when he was teaching at McAllister Lane. We had a neighbor in Gedford Lane that went to school. He's gone now, but he went to school there. Grandpa was his teacher, and my two oldest uncles was in school. And he said Grandpa was very, very, very tough on his two boys in school. That's probably, I think you have a tendency to be that way.
With your own kids. Mm-hmm. What brought your grandfather out here from Iowa?
I don't know. I don't know what the incentive was. But you see, he was quite a bit older than Grandma. Mm-hmm. And he actually taught her in school in Iowa.
Oh, wow.
And I understand he was a friend of her dad. And he knew her dad. And I don't know what, he had no relatives out here. I don't know. But everybody was migrant. They thought they could make a fortune
out in Oregon.
Move west. Everybody was moving west. But I don't know why he picked LeGrand. Never heard that story.
Whatever story?
I never knew my grandpa. He died the year I was born.
Oh, wow.
And mother said he worked away from home so much in the logging camps, even down north of Elgin, that she says he was gone an awful lot. And of course, in those days, you didn't go back and forth. If you worked in a logging camp, you stayed there and come home on weekends. And then down north, when they moved to Pine Grove, my grandma would go out in the summertime and harvest season and work on the cook wagon.
For the man.
Travel around, and she'd work on the cook wagon. And the older kids stayed home and took care of the younger kids. Can you imagine what a riot that would be?
No. Imagine the trouble they got into, probably.
But you had to do what you had to do.
Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm. Grandma worked very hard. She really had quite a tough life.
And she did not enjoy the homestead.
No, of course. Too. And she'd make hot biscuits every morning. And when she got older, you couldn't get her to make a biscuit. She hated biscuits. They didn't have toast, all that stuff then, and hot biscuits. She just hated biscuits.
Do you have any other family story that you remember?
Oh, I can't recall any right at the moment. There's probably a lot
out there. Do you remember Hot Lake? What was Hot Lake like when you were growing up?
I never did. Well, I've been past there, but I didn't. My husband can tell you more about Hot Lake when he was raised out here.
But you don't have a lot of memories of Hot Lake.
Yeah. He used to play over there.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, he, all around this area.
Tell me about the cowbells, the cattle women.
Okay, that was later on. My kids were still in school, I guess, in high school. And I joined the cattle women, and I was treasurer for several years. It was a fun thing.
What did you ladies do?
Oh, we had fundraisers, and we had a meeting once a month, and we either went to a restaurant or had a potluck, a potluck at people's houses, And beef promotion. is what we did. They have their state facilities mm-hmm. organization, and they'd work under them. And you had your president and secretary, treasurer, and it was, I miss it.
They're no longer around?
Well, they just don't function anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't have any meetings anymore. And I was treasurer for many years, and then I was president for 2 years. And we had a fun time. And we'd raise money. We'd cook hamburgers for different auction sales, bull sales, and whatever. And when we'd have those sales, we'd serve hamburgers, and then we'd make homemade pies and sell the pies. And of course, the people enjoyed those. And we had a lot of fun.
What did you do with the money you raised for the fundraising?
Beef promotion. Mm-hmm. And now they give scholarships every year. But they don't function. They don't have meetings as a group mm-hmm. anymore. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
When you say beef promotion, what do you mean by beef promotion?
Oh, advertising. We put on beef demonstrations in the grocery stores. And and Father's Day, we give a beef certificate, have a drawing for, go to Albertsons and Safeway and all the bigger Heights grocery when they were open.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd serve a beef dish, you know, and pass out recipes and that sort of thing. They don't do that anymore. They haven't for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And how many women were part of the cowbell when you were?
Oh, I'd say probably 40 or 50, maybe. They didn't all attend.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they was kind of going downhill, having problems getting people to participate. And I didn't feel, I really wasn't that crazy about being president. They couldn't get anybody else, so I thought, well, to heck with it, I'll just take it. So I was treasurer,
mm-hmm.
so I had to give that up, and I took over the presidency, and my goodness, we had 32 people at the first meeting, and I guess maybe they wanted some new blood or something. I don't know.
What were your duties as president?
Well, you had to appoint your committees and see if the things worked along.
Mm-hmm. And so things got done.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. It was, I had a good group of people mm-hmm. to work with. And they helped you. But you just had to dedicate the work. You couldn't do it all yourself. And I guess I was good at doing that.
At delegating.
mm-hmm.
Now, the stock show just ended here this past weekend,
uh-huh.
and were you very involved with the stock show then?
I cooked hamburgers for years in the hamburger stand,
mm-hmm.
and there again, some of the cowbells is there were several of us worked over there. Different groups would take different days, and I usually worked on Friday, and one of the cowbells, two of the cowbells, they was in charge of the hamburger stand for the stock show, and so they got some of us girls over there to help them, and that was a fun thing again. You worked. I mean, it was hard work, it was hectic, and you were just if I'm going to do something, I like to work. I don't like to stand there and hold mm-hmm. my hands, you know. And so I liked it on Friday, because that's a parade day. Big crowd. And you could fry hamburgers just as fast as you could fry hamburgers. You could get them out. And all the one lady I know, she didn't like to work out front, and she peeled onions. I don't know how she stood it. She just peeled onions
all day.
50 pounds of onions. But we had fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, over there they fry their hamburgers, and onions are fried too. You
mm-hmm.
see. And but we had fun. It was hard work, and you'd just be grease.
I can only imagine by the end of the day.
End of the day, your hair was just. But it was a fun thing.
And your boys were involved with the stock show then?
Yeah, they showed their cows,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or heifers. But that I don't think I worked there till after they quit showing their animals.
Has the stock show changed a lot over the years?
I don't think so. Not the 4-H and the FFA is really the big thing of that stock show,
mm-hmm.
And it and they've improved it a lot. I mean the buildings. We went over just to look at the animals here a couple of years ago, and my the buildings are so much better than they were. They were pretty crude when our boys were showing. They've got some nice buildings over there now. I don't know how their attendance is, but we always buy tickets. But we usually give them away, give the tickets away.
Now, how has the town of Union changed since you've moved here? I mean, has it changed at all? I mean, substantially?
Well, there's a lot less stores. There used to be a variety store over there, and there was more filling stations.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the drugstore is still there. And in some respects, it's better, and some it isn't. Now they have a health clinic over there, which they didn't have when we moved here, and which is a real asset to Union. And they have some good nurse practitioners,
uh-huh.
and there's people come from LeGrand over there.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good. And they're in connection with OHSU, which is good. And if there's any questions, why they just get on the phone and call them up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gone over there. Sherman's gone over there, and you can usually get in.
Mm-hmm.
We're in LeGrand.
Good luck. How have things changed for? Well, worse is the right word, but you know, just the closing of the stores.
They used to have a clothing store over here, a variety store, a clothing store, and kind of a Western store, but they don't have any of that anymore.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. Just too hard for them to make a living, I guess. We don't even have a good clothing store in LeGrand.
I agree with you there, we don't. Did you attend one of the local churches?
My husband was LDS, and we went to when the boys were in school, or in home, we went to the LDS church over here. And in fact, Carl, that's where he was so active in his scouts,
mm-hmm.
was at the church there. They had a good scouting program. Or did they? I assume they still have. I'm not connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a good scoutmaster.
Mm-hmm. So are you pretty involved with the church then? Or just
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
When the boys were home. I guess we should be yet. But
kind of, that happens though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else?
Do
Can you think of anything else we haven't talked about that you think people would find interesting?
Not really. Not offhand.
Not offhand. Mm-hmm. You certainly have a lot of family history.
What?
Because you certainly have a lot of family history.
Yeah. My great-grandfather. He was in the Civil War. Well, actually, on both sides.
Really?
My great-grandfather was in the Civil War on my dad's side. He's buried up here in La Grande.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What brought him out here?
Well, Dad's family came out, and I don't know what brought them out here. My grandpa had a sister that came first, and then Grandpa and Grandma came. And, of course, Dad was 15 when they came out,
mm-hmm.
and they took them 30 days to get out here from Colorado.
And how did they come out? By wagon train?
No, they had an old touring car, and they camped out. And it was in 1918, and Grandma, I found a diary that she had made every day where they camped.
Wow.
It's handwritten. And they got here, Grandpa, he had worked in the mines in Colorado and farm too.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got out here and he did cement work. I don't know, some of the family, I guess. And Dad did a lot of cement work. Plaster, that was for the sheetrock.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a plaster. And that's what he did in California when I was born. And then of course, the Depression came along, and work was hard to come by. And they came back to La Grande. Oh, he worked out of La Grande, too. He worked on a lot of buildings up here in La Grande.
Really?
The Union Pacific Railroad, the first building up at the college.
In Lo Hall, probably.
Is the one that was built in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on that. And he, Saku Annex, the one they tore down,
okay.
He worked on that. And the first underpass, they put a second one in, you know,
mm-hmm.
a few years ago. Well, he worked on the first one. And several of those buildings, a lot of cement work around La Grande and plaster work. And then he worked in Wall Wall for a while when I was a tiny baby. And he worked in Salem, and you just had to go wherever the work was.
So he went to where the work was. Did his family stay here, his wife? And
no, mother and me,
mm-hmm.
as a baby, went with him.
Went with him.
And Kelso, Washington, he worked on a lot of theaters down there, several theaters in Kelso, and Longview up there. Mother went down there. She talked about her and me going on the train when he got work down there. And then they in Walla Walla. Then they came back to La Grande. I guess they got tired of tromping around, and he had his little acreage over there and just scrounged, worked wherever he could find work. And then the sawmill opened up,
mm-hmm.
and he got on there and stayed there. Well, yeah, I had lunch last week with a girl that I've known all of my life. She lived neighbors in Fruitdale. She says, I can't even remember. I've known you so long, I can't even remember.
Life without you.
I remember when we got acquainted. Well, we grew up together in Fruitdale.
Mm-hmm.
There's just an alfalfa field between us. We had a beaten path.
Yeah.
Had some fun times.
What'd you do for fun as a little girl?
Imagination. You didn't have organized
mm-hmm.
things to do. You just made your entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find yourselves in trouble?
What?
Did you ever find yourselves in trouble?
Yeah, we tried to teach it. Dad had an old hen with some little baby chicks. We decided that her and I decided the little chickens should learn to fly.
Oh no.
And Dad was down at the barn away from the house, and he heard that old hen just carrying on something terrible. He come up there, and here was Helen and I trying to teach the chickens to fly. Oh, we got a terrific spanking over there. And Helen run for home, and she got a spanking when she got home.
That's funny.
And the chickens never did learn to fly.
Well,
that's like our boys out here. They pulled a few on their tricks too. They decided they was going to teach the. We had a watering trough, big long watering
mm-hmm.
trough. Well, they had taken swimming lessons over at Cove. I took them over every day, all that one summer. I think I could have drove to Cove blindfolded. And so they decided that cats, we had some cats up, they decided those cats should learn to swim too. They learned to swim, so they did put the cat in the water trough and make him swim to the end.
That's so mean.
And they just thought that, you know, they should learn to swim.
That's understandable. Oh, that's funny.
And then one time, our oldest boy, we had some chickens out here, and the setting hens would get on the nest, you know, and set. They don't do it anymore. They bred motherhood out of them, I guess. And heard a big commotion, and Fred had heard his grandmother say that if a setting hen was setting, you could dunk her in the water trough or do something, and it'd break her up, you know, from setting. Here he come out of the chicken house with this old hen, just squawking and squawking, and he was going to take her out and dunk her in the water trough.
That's what Grandma said.
Grandma told him it would work.
Were you involved in politics at all in the area?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Mm-hmm. I was on the election board over here in Union for probably 15 years.
What did that entail, being on the election board?
Well, they didn't vote by mail.
No.
Then. They had a whole crew of women. First of all, I started out on the county board.
Mm-hmm.
And the county board would go in, quite a while after the election, the voting. We'd go in at 10 o'clock or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to sit and count all those votes by hand. There'd be four women. One of them would call the off, and three of them would mark it down.
And then would you compare to make sure you're...
Yeah, you come out the same. And we've been over there till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
And what happens if you didn't come out equal, if you didn't match up?
You usually matched up pretty well. You double check
mm-hmm.
every so often, you know. And so it usually came out. Mm-hmm. Wow. No, that was a long process, but you felt it was accurate when you got done.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't depending on machines. And of course, the election board itself was open from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And but then after it closed, why then you'd have all these build up of ballots that you'd have to count. And then you'd have to take your results over to the courthouse, usually that night. The chairman of the election board would take it over.
The courthouse in LeGrand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it was a, I mean, did you do like presidential elections and that type of
thing? Everything. School board, special elections, primaries, everything. It would be about, well, your presidential, your primaries are every 4 years, I guess. Some of them are every 2 years. And then your school boards and all the different districts and everything would come in there, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a pretty important job.
Yeah, it was kind of time-consuming, but I don't know. Of course, they vote by mail now, so.
Was it a paid position or was it volunteer work?
Paid, but not very much. I don't remember what we got. It wasn't very much, anyway.
For being up till 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was just the counting.
Mm-hmm.
If you was on the day board, what we call the day board, you usually work from 8 o'clock till, oh, they usually get through about 9 o'clock. And the time they balance their books out and everything. And but the counting board, that was a long...
Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. And after you get so late at night, you get
a little rummy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if they left anything out. I'd like to see your pictures.
Yeah. He started up this little grade school band, and that's a picture of it.
And what did he teach? I mean, was it...
Well, he taught the 7th and 8th grade, but he most of those kids were... Well, there were some young ones in there, too. And, they had violins, they had everything. And I played the trumpet, in high school, I played 1 year in the band.
In the band?
Mm-hmm. Here's our schoolhouse in Island City.